resume again looking at scriptural passages that demonstrate that the leading of the Spirit isn't something that is we need each and every day of our life. It's only when we make big decisions that we need specific direction, and we don't see it from Scripture. I'm going to show you some more passages from Scripture now, again, that tell us how to conduct our lives on a daily basis. And there's no leading involved. Just as we pointed out over in Romans 13, which laws of the land do I obey? I obey them all. They're ordained of God. That ruler's there because God has ordained that he's there. You say he's an immoral man. Yes, God's going to take care of that problem. Don't you worry about that. The important thing for you and I to remember as Christians is that God wants us to obey that man, even though you know he's a big stinker, and say, he's not a Christian. Well, yeah, so what? God didn't say that they had to be Christians, did he? They're ordained of God. God is permitting it for now. And God says, you be pleasing to me by obeying these people, and it's going to work out for your happiness. That word good means to make happy. Now, if you look over in Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to see something over here. This is talking about family relationships. Family relationships. And how we're to conduct ourselves again. Do I need the leading of the Spirit on a daily basis? Again, probably 95% of what you and I need to know is already revealed in Scripture. We simply need to study Scripture and find the answers for our daily conduct. And we've been taking you through a number of them already. We've looked in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where we're not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That would be like in marriage and in business. We're to obey human government. We're not diplomatically immune just because we're citizens of heavens right now. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 1, it shows us family relationships. Then it goes beyond family relationships to on the job. How do you behave before your employer? And how your employer, if they're a Christian, is to treat you. Let's look here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Is he speaking to every child here? Well, parents would love that, wouldn't they? No, it's obvious. He's speaking to Christians. Christians. Children who are Christians, you obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. For this is right. Well, there. Kids have got their answer. Do they have to obey mom and dad? Well, the neighbor kids don't. They tell their parents off. They talk back to mom and dad. I've seen my friend next door, their mom slapped their mouth because they were talking back to them. And the only reason they stopped talking back is because their mom slapped their mouth. So maybe I don't want to get slapped in the face, and that's the reason I won't talk back to my parents. No. The reason you obey your parents and don't talk back is because it's what the Lord wants. I'm speaking to Christians who are children under the authority of their parents. Ephesians 6:1. It's God's will for you as a child, and even though you're saved, doesn't give you any special privileges. You as a Christian are to obey your parents if you're still young enough to be under their authority. For this is right. For this is right. Then verse 2, it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now you say, oh, now we've got, another 10 commandments for Christians? No. This is a promise for the Jews. God expected them to honor their parents, their father and their mother. People don't understand this word honor. When you think of honor, for the president of your country, it would be you show respect for that individual. You show respect for that individual. When they come into the room, you should probably stand up. If they have a title like Mr. President or Your Honor, and you're speaking to them, you should probably use that title to show respect. That's how you honor them. You give full weight. You give full weight to the office that individual holds. That's showing respect. This word honor with respect to your father and mother in this first commandment for the Jews, this was more. This was more than just showing respect. This was actually caring for your parents financially when there was a time that came, that time where there was a need for that. And keep your finger here, but over in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 5. He says in verse 4. Well, let's start at verse 1 so you just get the context here. It says, Then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said to them, Why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? And he's talking here. The Jews had added a lot of traditions and a lot of excessive things about hand washing. They had to do it a certain way. They added to the law. So God gave the law and the ordinances. And then the Jews, over time, added a lot of little niceties that they had to be done this way. And so they're criticizing Jesus on behalf of his disciples and their behavior. And he says, well, you scribes, you people who know the law, and you Pharisees who are supposed to be the spiritual leaders in Israel, he says, why do you transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? See, they were making a big thing out of the traditions of the elders. They didn't attribute the traditions to God. It was the elders. Something was added on later by men. But he says, you guys are breaking the commandments of God by your traditions. And what had they done? He ties it in where the problem was. Verse 4. For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother. And he that hath cursed father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, and so there, the cursing would be showing respect. But in addition to the respect, they were also to provide support when it came time as their parents were older and needed help. He says, verse 5, But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father and mother, It is a gift. By whatsoever thou mightest profit from me. In other words, he says in verse 6, And honor not his father and mother. See? He says, Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions. What they had done. Look over in Mark 7. Mark chapter 7 and verse 11. They actually had a name for this. This gift that they gave. And I'll tell you, they didn't give the gift to their parents. They gave the gift to the temple. It was a stinky way of the Jews getting out from the responsibility that the law placed on them to honor, not just verbally, where you see the cursing. They were to be stoned if they cursed their father and mother, but they were also to financially provide for their parents when it came time in that parent's life. And it says, verse 10, he says, For Moses said, Honor, this is Mark chapter 7 and verse 10. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. There, you see, so it's talking about honor. It's obviously showing respect, just like we are to honor those people, even unsaved men and women who rule over us and hold positions in government. We're to show honor to them. That means respect them. We're not supposed to throw rocks at them or curse at them or spit at them. We're to show respect for the office that they hold. Well, children were to honor their mother and father, not curse them under the law. And then in addition to that, you see it was more than just showing respect. Verse 11, But you say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban or Corban, C-O-R-B-A-N, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, as it's implied. And you suffer him, verse 12, and you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. See that? The law, under the law, they were to show respect for their parents, and that would be not to curse them, but to, you know, not speak ill of their parents, show respect verbally, but they were also to care for their needs of their parents, the physical needs when that time came. Their parents had provided for them as they were growing up, and then as their parents got older, they were to care for their parents. That was the law. And, but this thing called Corban is, if you tie it together with Matthew 15:5, it is a gift. Where was this gift given? It was a gift that was given to the temple. It was given to the temple. They go in the temple and they perform this Corban, and they would. And the thing that was really, really stinky about this is that that was a promise to give this money to the temple. They still got to keep the money and use that money for whatever they wanted. But by doing this promissory note sort of thing called Corban, they then the traditions of the fathers, elders said, well, then you don't have to provide for your parents because you've given this gift in honor of your parents, but to the temple. That was really a stinky thing. So instead of caring for their parents financially, they dedicated the money to God. But they didn't have to give it until they died. They got the full use of that money until they died. Really, really stinky. Really stinky. That is not what we're to do. He says back in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, so he says, children, obey. You Christian children, you obey, and you're to honor your father and your mother. And that means care for them financially. How do I know that? Well, keep your finger here. Let's look over in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And it gives instructions here with regards to those women who are widowed. Who are widowed and are Christians. It's giving instructions for the local church. In verse 1 of 1 Timothy chapter 5, he says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, and the younger as sisters with all purity. So this is showing how they were to treat one another in the local church. Then he says, verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed. So this would be a woman who was obviously older, old enough to have been married, had a family, and lost some children, or lost her husband. Now, she may not have children. She may not have family. Then the church was to care for her. But notice verse 4. But if any widow, this is a Christian, someone who's a Christian who's lost her husband, have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home, and to requite to their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. So do you have to ask for the leading of the Spirit to care for your elderly parents or your elderly aunt? Lord, give me some direction through the Holy leading of the Holy Spirit. Should I care for Aunt Sue since Uncle Bill has died? Is this what you want me to do? I don't have to pray that prayer. You don't have to pray that prayer. You've got your answer right here. Is your aunt, is your mother a sister in the Lord? Then yes, it's your responsibility before God. It's something God wants you to do. That requite to their parents means, hey, your parents cared for you when you were little. Now you have an opportunity when they have need as they're older to care for them. And this is something that's good and acceptable before God. Acceptable before God. It's a good thing. So I don't need direction by the Holy Spirit. So all of a sudden, you've got all sorts of family relationship answers here to the big questions. You know, it's not going to be cheap caring for my aunt or my mother. That's another mouth to feed. But is it what God wants? Yes, it is. Is it right for me to obey my parents all the time? Yep. Okay. You got your answers. A lot of answers here. Now, then he says, verse 3, that it may be well with thee. So this is really pleasing. This is in keeping with what God wants. How is it going to be well with you? Well with you? Well, you know you're going to have a good conscience before God because you're living up to what you know He wants you to do if you honor your father and mother. So Say your mother and father both are still alive, but they're not in physical health that they can actually go out and work and earn a living. And there's not enough income through whatever they've saved up to make ends meet. They need help financially. Yes, you don't have to ask for the leading of the Spirit and direction. You've got it right here, right from God's Word. And when you do that, it's going to be well with you. You know you're living up to God's will. You have a good conscience. And notice this, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. Isn't that a strange thing? A Christian actually has a promise of a long physical life if they take care of their parents financially and aren't niggardly towards them. Very interesting. Then verse 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So, because a father has authority over his children and Christians, children that are Christians, and they're to obey him, doesn't give a father the right to abuse that authority. So he says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't misuse the authority God's given you over your children, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, set a good example before them as a Christian and hopefully help them get grounded in the Word so they know what God's will is for their life by looking at your life and how you're living out God's will. Then verse 5, servants. Well, this is stronger than servants. This is slaves. This is the word slaves. In the Roman Empire, 75% of the people that were inside the Roman Empire, it was huge. It was huge. It included Italy. It included Greece. It included the Holy Land. It included large areas of North Africa. It included Spain. Lots and lots of territory. Turkey was a huge empire at that time. 75% of the people that inhabited that empire were the property of the other 25%. They were owned. When you're a slave, you were the possession. Just like you own the shirt that's on your back, you own the dress that you're wearing. That's exactly what these slaves were. They were the property of other people. And he says, slaves, slaves, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ, as unto your risen and glorified Savior. He's talking to Christian slaves. You obey your masters, and you do it with singleness of heart. You just focus in, and this is what my master wants me to do. I'm going to do it as unto Christ. My risen and glorified Savior is coming back for me at any moment. That's how God, and this is really even, and it says, verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers. In other words, not only when your master is looking are you obedient, but you're doing what he wants you to do all the time, even when he's not watching you. And he says, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the, not the heart, from the soul. You're actually enthusiastically, you're emotionally enthusiastic about being obedient to your master, your earthly master who owns you, lock, stock, and barrel. You know that those slaves, their lives, their physical lives, were in the hands of their masters? Under Roman law, I understand they could kill their slave, and they were never taken to court for killing their own slave. Why, that was their own property. They were destroying their own property. Think of it that way. That's like going out and taking a knife to the tires on your car and destroying your tires. You're destroying your own property. Why would you want to kill your own slave? It's your property. Your property, but they were owned to that degree. That's what you have. It's hard for us to comprehend that. But notice, and now this is something that can even be applied to us as Christians on the job. When we work for the boss, oh, he's a bad boss. I don't like, he's not saved. I don't have to do everything he wants all the time. Yes, you do. God wants you to. And not just when he's watching you and goofing off the rest of the time. Oh, the boss is gone for the day. Let's goof off and not do the work we're supposed to do. No, no. You're to do it with singleness of heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the soul. And he says, with good will, doing service as unto the Lord and not to men. So their attitude is that you're doing it really, I really want to do this right, and because I'm doing it unto my Savior, unto the Lord, unto the Lord. He says, verse 8, knowing that whatsoever, let's read on, whatsoever good things any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. So don't worry about it. The Lord will take care of you. Now look at this, verse 9. And you masters, you who are rich enough to be a citizen of Rome and actually possess other human beings as property, and you're a Christian, this master isn't, he's not speaking to all these slave owners. He's speaking to Christian slave owners. There were a few. He says, and you masters do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening. See, don't lay it on so thick that you scare the living daylights out of your slaves. Back off on threats about beatings, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Now, that's really something. So you see, the slaves weren't told to rebel against their masters, and the masters weren't told to beat their slaves senseless if they disobeyed. See, the slaves were to obey their masters just as if they're obeying the Lord himself, and to be eager as they do that with goodwill. And the Christian slave owner was not to be full of threats and vileness, knowing that he has a master. Christ is his master. He's been bought and paid for as a Christian by Christ. Death, burial, and resurrection for his sins on the cross. And he is a possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that Christ doesn't think any more highly of him than he does of that Christian slave over there. That in God's sight, he sees the slave equal to the Christian master. The Christian slave and the Christian master are both Christians. The world would say, oh, the master needs to, God should think more highly of the owner than the slave. That's not what this is saying, is it? Not at all. There's no respect of persons with our Savior. Isn't that a wonderful truth? See, so how do I behave on the job? Well, look at this, an extreme example where people actually owned other people, how they were to behave. They weren't to rebel, and they were to do a good job as unto the Lord, and there was supposed to be a mutual, really a respect for one another, recognizing the Lord was in control, and there wasn't to be a rebellion by the slaves, and the slaves were to be, and the same thing applies to us on the job. You don't rebel, and you do a good job even when the boss isn't watching. And those people that always look good when the boss is around and they're goofing off, you'd like to tell on them. No, don't worry about that. You as a Christian have your instructions. Do you need to be led how to behave? Does the Holy Spirit have to lead you how to behave on the job? Absolutely not. You've got your instructions right here. Do you need to be led as to how you're, as a Christian child at home under the authority of your parents? Do I obey my parents? Yes, you've got it right here. You don't need to be led by the Spirit. And you're to honor your parents when they need help. And that doesn't mean just give them respect verbally, but to care for them financially. You don't have to ask. And now we saw from 1 Timothy 5 that can even include an aunt, a Christian aunt of yours, or an uncle who might need help, a Christian relative who's older and needs help. That's family. And you can show godliness. What's godliness? Giving to God what he has a right to expect. And he expects you to care for your loved ones who are brothers and sisters in Christ as they have need in the family, and to show respect for them. And on the job, show respect for your boss and keep your nose to the grindstone even when the boss isn't looking. You keep working. You keep working. So, you know, there's, again, so much of our daily lives are covered in Scripture telling us how to behave. And again, also I want to emphasize this too, verse 4 here in Ephesians 6, that fathers are not to abuse, Christian fathers are not to abuse the authority that they have over their children, but they're, and not to provoke them to wrath. In other words, be reasonable. Be reasonable. You've got that instruction. We'll stop there, and we'll pick up with another passage, and then we'll show you where you can be led. Okay, we'll stop there.